Hello, everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. As a young Christian, I remember reading a book that stopped me in my tracks, made me think, and with an irrefutable truth, accept the fact that Jesus was who He said He was. That book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. That author, a self-proclaimed agnostic, looking for answers, finding them, and then stating his case, and brilliantly so. He had my attention. Later in my journey, I would herald his book as the, quote, go-to resource for anyone needing evidence and or wanting to know more. And now, decades later, it gives me great joy to bring to testimony this same man of faith whose search for God has culminated in the sharing of that truth to 25 million people in 125 countries, having authored and co-authored over 147 books in over 100 languages, with New Evidence That Demands a Verdict being named one of the 20th century's top 40 books and one of the 13 most influential books of the last 50 years, according to World Magazine. However, despite his many awards, too numerous to mention, his love of family, with wife Dottie of 46 years, 4 children and 10 grandchildren, remains the real and constant milestone on which this author hangs his hat, and I would say his pen as well. His latest must-read, hashtag truth, 365 devotions for teens, connecting life and faith, which we will talk about today. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome, a wonderful honor indeed, founder of Josh McDowell Ministries, international best-selling author and Christian apologist, and a force God knew He could use and does, and mightily so. Please welcome Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell, welcome to Testimony.
You missed one point in my bio. You forgot to say, my greatest notoriety is I'm a friend of Gen Z.
Well, no wonder you are so heralded throughout the world. You know how to bring people along, and they love it when you do, and I love it. First question in our Power Pack time here today. Why is it important for teens and parents to connect at that vulnerable stage of life? And is that why you wrote hashtag truth?
Yes. There's a major study that came out with thousands of young people. Why have they left their faith? Why are they leaving the church after high school graduation? And it ended up to be two reasons. One, intellectual skepticism. Nobody would answer their questions. Second was, not relevant to my life. And because of that, I thought, I want to write a book. And it's got to be a devotional style, so I get 365 shots at young people. And so I did the book to connect life, faith, and truth into the relationship between parents and their children. Today, kids have got to be presented truth in a unique manner that connects with them in relationships, or they won't even listen to you.
Amen. Now, when you were looking for answers, Josh, as an agnostic at one time, what one thing was irrefutable in your mind that made Christ real for you?
I would say intellectually, the one thing that I knew if I could refute it, my case was won against Christianity. And I tried so hard and I couldn't. And it's the resurrection of Christ. I've had 250 debates in the universities all over the world. And I would always challenge my opponent, you want to refute me? You want to refute Christianity? And I look him right in the eye, professors of history, literature, everything, said, all you have to do is refute the resurrection and it all crumbles. Every debate, they would lose. because you can't do that. I was just overwhelmed with the historical, legal, scientific evidence and all for the resurrection.
Wow. Now, I want to go back a little. You shared, many years later, your abusive past and your ultimate healing through Christ. Did this affect the way you looked at Father God? And if yes, how did you overcome it?
Yes, my father was a town alcoholic, and when he wasn't trying to kill my mother, I was trying to kill him as a kid, literally. And from 6 to 13 years of age, for 7 years, every week, 2-3 times a week, I was almost sexually raped, right in my own home, by a man by the name of Wayne Bailey. And when I told my mother, she got mad at me for lying, made me take my shirt off, and she whipped me for almost 30 minutes, so I cried out, "I'm lying." And when I went to the university, I was bitter, I was hurt, I was mad, and I was probably almost depressed. And there I met a small group of people, their lives were different. I said, "Why are your lives so different?" They said, "God." But every time they'd witness to me, they'd refer to the Heavenly Father. Well, that didn't bring joy to me. That brought peace. Because I grew up believing fathers hurt you. My dad hurt me. And so every time somebody say a Heavenly Father, you know, I would draw anger. I would react to it. And what helped me to overcome that, one, was to be challenged to intellectually examine the Scriptures. And I did that. And then I saw that my Heavenly Father is a lot different than my earthly father. And then second, as I was searching out to refute Christianity, I went to a few churches just to hear it out and examine them. And in several of them, I met some men who, with their children, and they were the most incredible fathers I could grasp. And I thought, well, maybe I have just missed the boat. So I started to look at Christ for who he is, and it ended up bringing me to Christ in the second year of the university.
Wow, that is so powerful. If statistics prove correct, 1 in 3 women are raped, and 1 in 5 boys are molested. So it's literally an epidemic in our society today that is being talked about more and more, but not enough. Josh, what power, other than the Scriptures of God's Word, caused you to believe and will cause a teen or parent who is listening right now to do the same?
I would say when I came to an intellectual conviction, now I believe I was led by the Holy Spirit, that the Bible is true. Oh, I didn't want to believe that because Jesus was no part of my future. But intellectually, after traveling all through the United States, England, Germany, France, Switzerland, the Middle East, to refute the Scriptures, I returned to the university, and I got alone, and I just said, "It's true, it's true, it's true." And that caused a tremendous conflict in my life, because I had to resolve that emotionally. I did not want Jesus to have any part of my life, but I knew I was being intellectually dishonest. So that December 19th at 8:30 at night, second year in university, I put it to test and became a believer. And I've never regretted it for one moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Josh McDowell, internationally renowned and best-selling author, his latest, hashtag truth. You founded Operation CareLift to meet needs you discovered in your many travels, in particular, Russia. You received an honorary doctorate of pediatrics from the Russian Academy of Medicine, recognizing your work with the children of Russia, to date one of the largest humanitarian aid organizations in the United States. And I would say the real story going on in Russia today. Can you briefly elaborate?
Yes. I knew God died for our sins through his son, Jesus Christ. And I knew I was forgiven. But I also knew, as I read the Word of God, God cared as much about the physical body as the spiritual body. He cared about his creation. And I was in Russia, and I had so many people coming to me, hospitals, orphanages, medical clinics, everything. "Dr. McDowell, can you please help us? Can you help us?" And so I started to pray about it. And two nights later, I had a deep conviction. I took a piece of paper and I drew out the logo and all. And out of that came the whole humanitarian effort. And it became known eventually as GAIN, Global Aid International. And so Operation Carelift that I launched became GAIN. And it was so much work, so much money, but I've never regretted it for a moment, because I wanted people to know I just didn't care about their soul, that Jesus also cared about their body, their families, their relationships. And we would give it, the aid, to everyone. We delivered it personally, eyeball to eyeball. But anyone knew, you didn't have to be a believer to receive it. You didn't have to become a Christian to receive it. But so many did. But the motivation was out of compassion.
Amen and amen. Last question in our remaining moments. In a culture of selfies, self-indulgence, self-entitlement, what makes your book, Hashtag Truth, a game changer for the reader?
I think because in the 365 devotionals, I'm able to take 12 critical doctrines, truths, and make them known to a young person in a relational way that they'll desire to know Christ in their own relationships, as I talk about in the book. I think I bridge the relationship between life and faith. And boy, if you can do that with young people today, you've got a winner.
And Josh, what are some of the most common challenges that you hear from today's teens and the parents of teens?
Well, from teens, that's easy. It's so what? So what? So God is God. So He's a loving God. So it's true. Well, so what? How does it relate to me? What does it have anything to do with my life? That's probably the number one issue you have to face. After that, it's all downhill because there's not a whole lot of new questions in life.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally renowned author, Christian apologist, and evangelist, Josh McDowell, founder of Josh McDowell Ministries, and author of his latest, Hashtag Truth, 365 Devotions for Teens, Connecting Life and Faith. You can learn more about Josh McDowell's work, ministry, and mission by visiting josh.org and get his book, For Someone You Know Needs Jesus, and Now. Dr. McDowell, Josh, it has been an absolute honor having you share just a little of your story and the impact you have had in over five decades of ministry in making the case for Christ like no other. Your life and life's journey is evidence that the truth truly does set one free, as you have been, and your latest Hashtag Truth, a beautiful devotional for both teen and parent to experience just that. We thank you. We honor you. God bless you.
Hey, you take care and hope we can have coffee sometime.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenebard.com. That's one word, jensenebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening. And please join us again for testimony. It gives me great joy to bring back to testimony a man whose passion for the lost, especially our youth, has culminated in over 27,000 talks to 25 million people in 125 countries, having authored and co-authored over 147 books in over 100 languages. And if that were not enough, ladies and gentlemen, new evidence that demands a verdict has been named one of the 20th century's top 40 books and one of the 13 most influential books of the last 50 years. And that's just for starters. Despite his many awards and global humanitarian efforts, by his own admission, his wife Dottie, of 45-plus years, four children, and 10 grandchildren to date, are by far his greatest achievements. Add to this his latest great read, Set Free to Choose Right, equipping today's kids to make right moral choices for life, which we will talk about today. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome, always an honor, founder of Josh McDowell Ministries, international best-selling author, and Christian apologist, Josh McDowell. Josh, welcome back to Testimony.
Well, thank you. I sure hope that introduction was recorded.
Well, it was recorded for sure.
It's good to be back with you.
It's great to have you back. Josh, in our brief time here today, let's get right to it. Why did you write Set Free to Choose Right? And what exactly do you mean by set free to choose right?
There's two reasons why I wrote it. One is culture has so shifted because of the internet. The whole concept of truth has gone from objectivity to how you feel, to your emotions. As a result, young people are in a, I guess you might call it a big swamp without a paddle, and they don't know where to turn to make right choices. Second, I wrote it because parents are the most powerful people in a child's life. And it's from mom and dad they should learn what is right. Not just what is right, what is wrong, but why is it right, why is it wrong, and how to make consistent right choices. So I wrote the book to help parents help their children. And then third, set free. Freedom is not the capacity to do what you want to do. True freedom is the capacity to do what you know you ought to do. See, many people know what they ought to do. They don't know how to do it. Most children know they ought to make right choices, but they don't know how to do it, so they're not free. And I believe parents, we owe it to our children to set them free so they know how to make right choices. So that's why I wrote Set Free to Make Right Choices book.
How then do you communicate, quote, morality to one whose moral plumb line is non-existent? In other words, and you just alluded to it, if it feels good, do it. Who are we to judge? Can you talk about that?
Well, culture has totally shifted to where 35, 40 years ago, truth was objective. In other words, you observed it. It was external, it was objective, you observed it. To where about 20 years ago, it switched to being truth is relative according to how you think. Well, today, as of the last 3 years, 4 years, truth is emotional. It's according to how you feel. And almost all decisions, everything now goes back to how do you feel about it. It's like a lot of Christians that make it saying, well, I feel good about it. I feel God is leading me to do this. Well, I get all kinds of red lights go on when I hear that. What we need to do is give our kids the foundation of why things are right or why things are wrong. For example, I can go into a pastor seminar, a leadership conference, a youth convention, a parent seminar, and take the microphone, go out in the audience, and say, do you believe lying is wrong? Almost every single person dogmatically would say, well, yes. And then I'll lower my voice a little and say, why? The answers are pathetic, usually. About 90% will answer this way, because the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. And I say to myself, that's absolutely ridiculous. A scenario. Is lying wrong because the Bible says thou shalt not lie? 97% of Christians say yes. Or does the Bible say thou shalt not lie because lying is wrong? Okay, then why is lying wrong? Because God is truth. Anything that coincides with the holy, just, righteous nature and character of God is right. That which conflicts the holy, just, righteous character of God is false. God is truth. The person of God is truth. That creates the principle of honesty. Out of the principle of honesty comes the precept, do not lie. Why? Because the Bible says thou shalt not lie? No. Because God is truth. How do we know that? The Bible. The Bible was never given to be worshipped. Jesus was having a conversation with the religious leaders, and they were bragging that they were better than the Gentiles because they had the oracles of God. They said, we got the Word of God. And Jesus said, you have the Scriptures, and in them you think you have life. And most Christians say, amen, yeah. Jesus said, no, you don't have life in the Scriptures. You don't have life in the Bible. Jesus said, you have life in me. How do you know that? The Bible. The Bible is given us to point us to Jesus, whom we might worship, not to point it to itself, the Bible, to be worshipped. And this is why it's so important we have convictions that the Bible is true and accurate. Why? Because if the Bible is not true and accurate, then we do not have a true and accurate concept of who God is. So again, morality is all relative.
Okay, now, your book addresses an issue that most churches, pastors, teachers, parents, and lay leaders are unwilling to address. And if they are willing, find it hard to communicate and resolve and in a way that is redemptive. Can you elaborate?
Yes. The story, most of my books, I have a storyline that goes through it that kind of ties all the chapters, everything together. In this storyline, it's a family whose child has become addicted to pornography, started watching it. And this is something very few people talk about, and yet it's the greatest devastation in the history of the church. We have never had a greater challenge to the church in the life of the world than internet pornography. Chuck Swindoll calls it the greatest cancer in the history of the church. James Robinson the other night told me, he said, Josh, pornography is the greatest devastation we've ever had in the church. And so one of the main things I wanted was to help parents how to dialogue with their children about pornography.
It's really an eye-opener, Josh. You did a study in cooperation with the Barna Group on the stats and the toll pornography is having on our youth, adults, and our nation as a whole. Can you talk a little bit about those stats?
Yes. A year and a half, 2 years ago, I paid, I think it was about $250,000 to Barna Research to do the largest study ever done of porn, scientific study, of porn and the church. We didn't do 300 scientific interviews like it requires to be accurate. We did 3,000. So I know we're accurate. And it shows that by far, pornography is the greatest problem in every church in the world. You can stand up in your church and look out. I don't care what church it is. And you can have running through your mind of 18 to 34-year-olds, 70-some percent actively pursue pornography in the internet. Of women, it's 56%. Between 52-57% of all evangelical pastors are addicted to pornography. It's sad. And nobody's addressing it. Hardly any voices out there speaking on it on a national level. And so I wanted to raise the awareness of this, but more so I wanted to help parents on how they can help their child to make choices about pornography.
So then what advice would you give a parent finding out that their child is watching pornography, they feel hopeless about it, and they haven't been squeaky clean in their own life about it? What do you say to that parent and to that child?
First, I would do this. If the parent has a loving, intimate, secure relationship with that child, you'd handle it one way. If you don't have that relationship, you're in trouble. Because speaking on pornography without relationships leads to rebellion. And the first thing I would do to the child is reinforce my love and acceptance of them and God's love and acceptance of them. I would extend grace. And second, if they brought it to your attention, I would hemorrhage. I would go overboard thanking them for talking to you about it, asking you about it. And then third, I would listen to them. Most want to start in, well, don't you know the Bible says, no. Listen to your child. Start saying, well, when did it start? How much have you seen? How often do you watch it? How does it make you feel? Are your friends watching it? How did you get involved in watching it? And it's usually through a family member. And so then you listen. And then from there, there's many avenues you go. But one, you need to instill within your child, I believe by 5 years old, a certain concept of the beautiful biblical foundation for human sexuality. That your body is something that is beautiful. God created it. But if a child does not have a very healthy, healthy, biblically based, true view of sexuality, then when they do see porn, and they're going to see porn, with your child or granddaughter, not if they do, no, it's when they do. Your grandchild absolutely will see porn, period. And if you don't think they will, then you're the problem, because you will lose your child. You won't prepare them. If a child does not have a certain concept of a biblical perspective of sexuality the first time they see porn, then they don't have that ability to discern the difference between the original and a counterfeit. And most Christian children today truly believe porn is God's perspective of sexuality. Why? Nobody talks about it. Almost 80% of all Christian parents have never talked to their child about porn or sexuality. So what else is a child supposed to think? And so with this book, and this is just one of many areas I deal with, it will help parents to pass on to their child, how do you know this is right or wrong, and how can you make a right choice?
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally renowned author, Christian apologist, and evangelist Josh McDowell, founder of Josh McDowell Ministries, and author of his latest must-read, Set Free to Choose Right. You can learn more about Josh McDowell's work, ministry, and mission by visiting josh.org and be the answer for a heart that needs healing, a mind that needs renewing, and a life that needs saving. Dr. McDowell, Josh, it has been a joy once again having you share from your latest eye-opening must-read, Set Free to Choose Right, your critical insights for reaching our youth and healing our marriages is evidence that God's biblical standards, no matter the cause, still hold true today. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. John 8:36. We thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.